There's a saying, don't hold on too tightly to what you have. God doesn't want us to hold on tightly to what we have. He wants us to keep a loose grip on what we have. Because everything we have, God has given to us. And we're to use that for God's glory as he leads us. We're responsible for the possessions that we have and the responsibilities that we have, but it all should be under Jesus, the King of our life. That God says, I want you to give this away, or I want you to minister to that person in need. I'm bringing that awareness to you that that person is in need for you to minister to. Now, Tim's not here, so I won't embarrass him, but I know that he went down maybe a year ago, and his neighbor's yard was high, and his neighbor didn't have really good health or anything. And so the neighbor looked out the window, and there was Tim mowing his yard for him. And that blessed him. That blessed him, and it was a witness to him. So when we see opportunities to minister to people, we're to take those opportunities to do that. And so that's something contrary to the way of the world. The way the world says you work, you get, and you keep what you've got. God says what I've given you is your responsibility to use as I lead you to. It can be for your own life. It could be for the lives of others to be an impact to others. When I was first in California in 1980, I was working at a donut shop, but I rode a bicycle 30 miles a day, and by the time I paid my rent, by the time I paid everything, I had very little money left for food. And so I had about five things that I had on my groceries on a regular basis. It was green beans, Italian dressing, pinto beans, eggs, and sun tea. That's all I had. I used to ride home on my bicycle, and I was salivating over my can of green beans and thinking I still had some dressing to put on them. And so I'd eat cold green beans and that, and I had lost a lot of weight. My point is this, that the owners of the donut shop, because I didn't say anything to anybody, they saw that I was getting pretty thin, so they said, Terry, do you have any food at home? I said, beans, you know? And so I came back to work the next day, and they had unloaded a good portion of their deep freezers and gave me a ton of frozen meat products. Then and other things to just go home, fill your freezer, fill your fridge, but they were Christians. They obviously were listening to the Lord. The Lord had laid it on their heart to do that. We're to look for those opportunities and not hold on to things with a tight grip. We're to allow the things that God has given us to be subject to His lordship of our lives. That if God says you give it, you give it. And we give it with the right heart because God loves a cheerful giver. But there are a lot of people that have a lot of hang-ups about their own property and their own things that is mine. But in reality, what we have is God's. If we're truly living as servants of God, we're truly to give all that we have to God. Our life and everything that we have in it is the Lord's to use as He directs us to use them. So an individual, as well as a nation's view of property and liberty, will be determined by whom it views as the ruler of this world. That's a little bit of a twist from where I'm going. How do you get from this is mine, this is what I worked hard for, this is my possession, this is my accomplishment, to giving freely out of a generous heart, responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to mow a yard or fill a freezer or do anything like that? How do we get from that worldly perspective to godly perspective? And it really ties down to how we view this world that we live in, and I'll explain that as we go. As a humanist person, human teaching, not spiritual teaching, but worldly teaching, if you're a humanist, you will see man, and more particularly the corporate man, as the state, as sovereign king. In other words, without Christ, we see man in control, and we see the state and government in control, and they're the ones that we're subject to. And that changes our perspective of how we hold on to things, or how we depend upon government to take care of us. This belief dominates the modern curriculum in public schools, halls of Congress, and in halls of Congress. In other words, that we are subject to people and authorities and government, and that's true. But for the Christian, we need to remember that subject to kings and authorities on earth is different than subject to the King of Kings. And so we need to be subject to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and follow him and what he leads us to do. And so that's a paradigm shift in our focus in life and how we view life in this world, our worldview. So in the past century, as we've been looking at our American history, there's a doctrine out that has been taught in this century that draws us away from that worldview that God is in control, that God is king of the earth. Now you understand that's a key factor, that God is king of the earth. Who do you think is the ruler of this world? Immediately your mind goes where? Right to Satan, right? The ruler of this world. But we need to remember that's not true, and that wasn't the perspective of early colonial Americans and early Christian principles and priorities. They always remembered that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King of this world. He is not the prince of the air of this world. It says in Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. As Christians and as a church, we had a paradigm shift from looking at God as being the king of this world to looking at Satan as the prince of the air of this world, having more influence and more authority than God because we live in this world. So we need to shift our thinking from we're under the dominancy of Satan's rule of this world and remember that God is king of this world. He's king over all. He's Lord over all things. Many see Jesus as an absentee king concerned exclusively with building and maintaining his church until he returns to earth. You see the difference? That the shift from the old thinking that God is the king of the earth to a compartmentalized thinking that spiritually that God's work is the church, it's private, God's kingdom work is kind of like a separate section of the world. But God's kingdom work should be everywhere. And we as his instruments, as he puts us, are to be used wherever he has us to live and to work and to be used by him. Our lives are to be subject to him and to that principle. Okay, so we give Satan too much credit is what I'm trying to say. We think in our minds, well, here's Satan, he's the prince of the air of this world. This world is dark and even wicked, and all that's true. But that does not mean that he has the dominancy over this world. God has the dominancy and the authority and the power. And we're to not to look at ourselves as being a church, as this is a little clique of people or a body of believers in a world of darkness, just doing your things for a kingdom that's to come. We're to be thinking in a broader span of we're in this world of darkness, but God is spreading us out, dispersing us out as light in every area that God allows us to be used to touch lives in every area of the world. So the worldview of the reformers and early Americans radically opposed the view that because Satan was the prince of the air of this world, that we have no hope of not being under the dominion of Satan, the influence of Satan. They had the worldview of God is in control. God, we know that. But they had the worldview that God is in control of this world. He is king of this world. And Satan is the prince. The prince is not greater than the king. So we need to remember that. Generations of colonists saw God as sole sovereign king over men and their property. Jesus Christ they saw as the ruler of earth and Satan as a defeated foe. Now there's a change of thought, a paradigm shift again, right? That when we look at God as the one who's over all, he's sovereign king over everything, and then to keep Satan in the perspective that we need to keep him as a defeated foe. He's an enemy of God that's been defeated, that his destiny is eternal separation from anything and all things from God and in the lake of fire forever. That's just going to be the reality. So I want us to look at some perspectives. and ask yourself where you stand. I'm going to be real candid with you. As I was looking at this message, working with this message, I was convicted. I realized that some of my thinking had been shifted, or paradigm shifted to this constraining thinking that we have no victory in this world because this world isn't God's world. It is God's world. He's king of this world. So I want you to think where you're at. If you see God as king and ruler of this earth, you do four things. One, your commission is to subdue earth and build godly nations through evangelism and discipleship. Two, you see Christian culture as leavening or spreading through all areas of life, not just in the church world, right? Three, all God's world is His, and every activity in life is a religious activity to be seen as spiritual work of God. And four, reformation is expected if a nation is obedient to God's word. So what we're learning here is that our perspective is that it's not that the ministry of the church, God's kingdom work, it's not constrained just here amongst His people. And it's not just some little impact in the world, but we are to be diffused light into the world of darkness under the authority of Jesus, the King of this world. And we're not to be oppressed or subjugated to the wicked powers of darkness, whom Satan is the prince of the air of this world. We're not to put ourselves in a place where we say, well, we're in a kind of a defeated start because Satan is in control of this world. God is in control. Satan is the prince of the air. And God has a mission for us that's not to be contained. You've heard it before where people say, you know, Satan will work to keep you from getting saved. Satan will work to keep you from following Him. Satan will work to keep you from realizing the gifts that He has for you and the purpose He has for your life. Satan will, if he can't keep you from getting saved, if he can't keep you from knowing what your spiritual gifts are, then he'll try his best to keep you contained in these walls. He'll try his best to teach you not to use what God has given you to spread out to people that God brings into your life. Satan will do anything he can to cripple us and immobilize us or paralyze us from being the effective people that God wants you and me and all of us together to be as we go out into this world. And so that first part is that you see God as king, ruler of this earth, and we're to penetrate and go throughout the world under God's authority. We're to know that His word and our testimony is like a leavening that spreads throughout the world, that all God's world is His, and every activity in life is a religious activity. Every act that we do in obedience and faith to God is an act of worship to God. God leads us to do something. Everything we do with the right heart before God, under His leadership as King of my life, of your life, is an act of worship. Worship means to honor and to acknowledge God. And then we can understand that the goal, too, is that we want nations to come to know God. We're one nation under God. That was the focus of our nation. It should be our focus now. And as for the believer, we want other nations to make God their God over their nation as well. So that was the first thing, a perspective, a worldview perspective. The second is, if Satan is king and ruler of this earth, as opposed to God, then here are four things. Your commission is just to concentrate on evangelism and saving souls. You see Christian culture as isolated and persecuted and a minority. Church activity is primary and spiritual. Worldly pursuits are secular. Reformation is impossible. We begin to, again, I already touched on that, segregate who we are and confine ourselves from being what God has called us to be, and not look at the broader picture that God can do great things in our life, in our country, and in other countries around the world. Real briefly, a missionary I knew when I was very young, a young teenager, missionaries to South Africa, the tribe that they were ministering to worshipped elephants. They had the passing of elephants every year. They'd put the newborn babies out in the field, and the elephants would pass through. If the babies were killed, maimed, or left alive, that was the fate of the god of the elephants. And as these missionaries, this missionary family ministered to the king of that tribe, they heard, the king heard the gospel, received Christ as his Savior, and declared God as God. We saw that, did we not, with Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? And so the king declared that Jesus is the creator of the earth, and that God is who he says he is, and they took all their wooden idols that they made of elephants, and they piled them in a huge bonfire, burned them all up, and declared Jesus as their Savior. You see, we can have that type of perspective on our impact on the world. We don't have to be paralyzed by saying, ooh, the spiritualism, the dark spiritualism of whatever area we're in is going to inhibit us from being effective for Christ. And that's not true. But if Satan is the king and ruler of this earth, we have a tendency to think that way, that we cannot have that victory that God wants us to have and experience. Finally, if you see man as king and ruler of the earth, first, we see God as king and ruler. Second, we see Satan as king and ruler. And thirdly, if you see man as king and ruler of the earth, the humanist view, your commission is whatever you choose to do with your life. You see Christian culture as old-fashioned and irrelevant and restrictive. All human activity is guided by human reason and evolution. And reformation is unnecessary and impossible since there are no absolute principles or truth. So if we adopt the ways the world is teaching us in humanism, we diffuse the powerful effect of God working through our lives because we've put a barrier and a perspective that hinders us from having the attitude and the focus that God wants us to have so we can be instruments of God to bring glory and honor to him. So the founding fathers who fought the Revolutionary War didn't believe in those last two worldviews, that Satan was ruler and humanism was ruler of this world. Okay, but they believed in that God was and is the king of this world, and that God has given liberty and property. Founding fathers who forget the Revolutionary War did not believe in those last two worldviews. They fought the Revolutionary War in defense of their God-given liberty and property. God gave you and I this country. This is where God planted us. Scripture says that he created us for a time period. He placed us in the time and the era that he wanted us to be. He had us born to the parents he'd have us to be born to. He had us live in the country he wants us to live in. But all in all, as a believer in Christ, whether that tribe in Africa that I was just attesting to, or you and I here in America, God has called us to defend what he has given us and not let the world take that away from us. So let's look at this. In Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary definition sheds more light on what property meant to our forefathers. Do you understand what we're talking about here? Think of the news for just a moment. Marxism, autocratic authority, socialism, says everybody will be taken care of. Oh, they'll be taken care of the wrong way. Because if you look at history, it tears it all down. And everybody they're impoverished, and the rulers get what they want. Lives, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were killed under that type of life, that type of government rule. And so you and I have been given freedom. Freedom to live as we choose. Freedom to choose a career, to be a hairdresser. Freedom to be a pastor if we choose. Freedom to be a doctor or in medical field, whatever. We have freedom to do these things. We have freedom to represent God. We have freedom to worship God. I was watching a guy on TV yesterday, and he's just a magnificent man. He was on Levine, that show. I forget his first name. Mark Levine. And this guy was a doctor and been in a lot of different things, but he was a Muslim that was saved. And what was amazing, what he says, most Muslims desire to just have the freedom to worship without threat in their country. But there are all those percentages that are on the jihad thinking to destroy whatever they can. And that's infiltrating in our government and in our society all around. And that's why we're hearing such things that are so contradictory to the views and the principles of our liberties and freedoms as Americans are being challenged. If we listen closely, if we watch closely, that's what's happening. And so God has given us those liberties. God has given us those freedoms. God has given us a country to live in that we have great, great opportunity and blessing. But we need to be responsible with what God has given us and not let go of those things, not relinquish them to the authorities that want to take those rights and freedoms away from us. Noah Webster, in 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary definition sheds more light on what property meant to our forefathers. He said, "The exclusive right of possessing, enjoying, and disposing of a thing or ownership. In the beginning of the world, the Creator gave to man dominion over the earth, over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every living thing. This is the foundation of man's property in the earth and all its productions. The labor of inventing, making, or producing anything constitutes one of the highest titles to property. It is one of the greatest blessings of civil society that the property of citizens is well secured." What God has entrusted to us in those liberties and freedoms, the choices of the life and what direction God would lead us to go, the things that we work for and what we attain, all these things are what we have the privilege of. Marxism, socialism, and autocratic authority does not give those things. That's the threat that is threatening America today. As radical as that sounds, you pay attention, you watch the news, and you will realize that that's true. And we're called to stand up and just live out our principles, state our principles as believers in Christ, standing on the truth that God has given us what he's given us, and we will yield to him. If the pilgrims were asked, who owns you and your property, they would answer, God. We are free men who have been bought with a price. In 1 Corinthians 7:23, it says, you were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. The sons of Korah wrote in Psalm 47, to remind us who the king of the earth was, he says this, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." So we need to remember that God is king of this earth. So if we have the mentality that man is the king of this world, or the king or the ultimate authority of this world, then we find ourselves subjecting ourselves to that which will bring destruction. But if we as God's people remember that God is king over this earth and we're subject to him, and we're to stand as he would have us to stand, honoring him, living for him, being the people that he's called us to be, that will make the difference in our country and in our world for Christ and his glory. God is the king of the earth and everything is his. His subjects, his people, are all called to be good stewards of what he gives us on earth, whether it is time, skills, money, or property. So as I was teaching the kids, here's what I've given you as a king. That trying to teach them that spiritually, God will give you things to share. And to give that's monetary, that's physical, that's spiritual. Whatever you have been given and trusted by God, God has given it to you to use, to share, and to reach others for Christ through that. Moses reminded people of how God is the one who really provides for them. You understand what I'm saying? If our society thinks government's the answer to my provision, Government's the answer for my income. Government's the answer for all these different things. Instead of looking as a Christian, God is the answer. God will provide. God will protect. God will show us the right way. All these types of things. So if we have that paradigm shift from looking to God as the king over this earth to the man's rule over this earth and subjecting ourselves to that, we will see destruction. But if we stand on God and his principles and bring and protect the liberties, because everything that's good comes from God. He's given us freedom and liberty in this country, and we are not to just have it plucked away from us. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today." God gives us what we need. So therefore, we cannot be selfish or pride-filled when it comes to what we have on this earth. That's the way of the world. That's the way of man. That's humanistic thinking. Look at my accomplishments. Look what I have. You're only somebody in this world's eyes when you can say, look at the house I have. Look at the financial security I have. Look at all the things I have. Look at all the fun I have. Look at my bank account. All this stuff means nothing or should mean nothing to the Christian. And by nothing, I mean it should not be the priority. It should not be our security. It should not be our ultimate goal to build a name for us based upon the things that we have or that we have accomplished in life. Our goal is to please and honor God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal is to be the people of God by being transformed into his image, living for him. Our goal is to be that instrument that God wants to use to share the light, the love, and the person of Jesus Christ with people that don't know him. Our goal is to be that vessel that God can use to impact our nation for the glory of God, one nation under God, and to reach out to other nations to experience the same. In Colossians 3:23, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord, as to the Lord, and not to men." Our priority is to live for the Lord in whatever we do. As a custodian for 10 years, cleaning out urinals, toilets, and everything else that you don't want to hear about that was not right, God always reminded me, do it to me, do it for me. You do a good job for me. You got to clean that peanut butter and jelly sandwich off the stall wall, you clean it. And there are other things on the stall wall too. You be faithful to what God has called you to do in whatever capacity it is. Think of what you do in your job and your career and your life as doing it to Jesus himself. And that will change our worldly perspective. Jesus' parables of the kingdom, as written in Matthew 13, teach us that faithful stewards do the master's will. Faithful stewards of God look to the resources of God that he can give to us. And when we rely on the resources that God gives us to be faithful stewards to him, God will reward us. When we die and our house is gone, our bank account is gone, everything we've attained, our name and our position in this world and society is gone, somebody else gets most of that, right? What I mean by that is they don't get our position, our name, but they get our possessions. It's gone. But if we live for Jesus, whatever we do with a right heart, with him as our priority, being that vessel God's called us to be, he will reward us with things that will never be taken away, never fade away, never be corrupted and dissolve. But will be eternal blessings, just like buying a brand new car and enjoying it and never losing that joy about what you got. But far, far more, because what we get from the Lord will bless us and glorify him with a freshness and a joy that we can't imagine, that won't wear out, that won't grow dull, that won't become useless. But for eternity, we'll have those gifts that will bless us and bring glory to God. In Matthew 25:21, it says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" We were talking about that sort of in Sunday school. We were talking about the predestination of God. That's God's calling and purpose on our lives, but it's not that God's calling and purpose on our lives can only be attained as we follow God and what he has for us to do. Least we don't run the race and complete it and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Least we miss the mark of the high calling of God on our life. Least we do not find the life that God has for us that is hidden in him. And the only way we can find it is by denying ourselves, not living for ourselves, but living for Jesus. If we find those things that will bring honor and glory to God that will last forever. My point is this. America and Christians have forgotten that God is king of America and the world. They've allowed the prince of the air to be dominant in our minds, saying, we can't beat against it. It's not a contest. God's already given us victory, already made us conquerors. We just need to be faithful to what he wants us to do. God is the one who supplies us with time, property, wealth, etc. And he's made us individual managers of the property and the things and the freedoms that he's given us. And I think that crunches me or does something, I can't find the right word to express what I'm saying, is that God has given us these freedoms that we can't just lay back and say, go ahead and take it away. Speaking about America. So what do? We learn to continue to stand for Jesus, live for Jesus, proclaim what's right, proclaim the liberties and freedoms that are ours, proclaim what we need to proclaim, stand true to his word, be God's people, and it will make a difference. It will make a difference and make decisions and do things in every area of our life that will impact our culture and our society. So God has given us all of these things, time, property, wealth, and managers of the things that he's given us. It's not to be taken out and just look at the government and say, you take care of everything for me and I'll sit on my derriere. No, we be faithful to what God gives us and we become the people that God has called us to be and achieve what God wants us to do in and through him, and it'll have eternal effects. Under his Holy Spirit, God as King directs us to use the money, time, and property he gives us in the ways he wants us to. Now, this is not meant as a pat on the back type thing, but early on, I had a roommate, and he was married, and he had a little child. He was in the military, and he was on base in Florida, and his wife was up in New England, and their car had died. And I had a four-door Nova sedan. It had you can open the hood and see the ground all around the engine. No AC, nothing like that. But God just said, you give that to him and ride your bicycle. He's got a family. Now, I don't say that for me. I'm saying God says, don't hold on to these things. You're the manager of the property that God has given you. Use it for God's glory. Under his Holy Spirit, God as King directs us to use the money, time, and property he gives us in the ways he wants us to. When we give up our freedoms and rights to the state and are not being good stewards of what God has given us, then we are introducing problems to our country and our lives. Does that make sense? Or is it too general? And I know you're saying this is politics, not church. I don't want to hear it. No, God says we're to be a light and a salt in every area of life. And so if we're teaching people that the government is entitled, you are entitled to whatever the government has for you, and you're to just get your check and sit down and not do anything to work to build even your own self-esteem or to accomplish what God has you to do. We are to yield ourselves to God and not to the state. I'm not saying being bad citizens. I'm saying being good stewards of what God has given us. And last of all, like our founding fathers and the colonists, we need to fight for our freedoms and rights. Again, this is truth. I have the freedom for it. This is my property. I have the freedom to protect it. This is my choice in life. I have a freedom to go to church. We just went through that last year. I have these rights. Our actions to do what's right in God's eyes makes a difference. We are not ineffective. We can be effective vessels to make a difference in our country and to help our country come back to know the Lord. So like our founding fathers and the colonists, we need to fight for our freedoms and rights. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us. What is your focus? Is God the king of the earth? Is Satan the king of the earth? Or is government the king of the earth? And of course, you know that God is the king of this earth, and we are his children, and we are called to stand in him and through him and for him, that he might receive the glory. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Father, you've led me and embarked me on a different kind of path as a pastor to integrate the principles of even politics in the world today within messages, within ministry, and being taught over the years that is segregated. These are segregated issues. That politics is over here and church is over here and my life is over here and their life is over there. And you're reminding me and you're leading me as a pastor to help us to understand that it's not bad for us to understand the politics in the world that we live in, but we are called to take your word, Father, and lay it aside line it aside the ways of the world and the politics of the world, and then clearly see what is your will as opposed to the world's will, and then to do what you call us to do, because through that you will work through us to make a difference that brings you honor and glory in our life, our families, our country, and even in the world around us. So help us, Father, to integrate you into every area of our lives, wherever it might be. Help us to have the courage to stand, not just in our private intellect, but in our vocal stance for the things that are right. Help us to be responsible with the things that you've given us, the properties and the things that you've allowed us to have in life. Let us manage them not under our thinking, but under your headship as King and Lord of our lives. Let us be willing to give and to let go and to serve and to intercede with what we have for others, that you might be glorified and people will be blessed. I just pray your honor this. Carry this message to our hearts. Help us to be your people, strong and clear and confident in thought. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.